You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
And now the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 1. Last time we left Jesus raising a woman from the dead, or shall I say a girl from the dead, she was 12 years old, and healing a woman who had had an issue of blood for 12 years. And the 12 is symbolic of the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 in biblical numerics is a divine government. And so it means that Jesus came to give life as he gave to the 12-year-old girl and to heal the sin-sick world as he did for the woman. Now we're going to see what else Jesus is going to do. Remember, he's our way sure. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. His own country would be Galilee. That's where he was brought up. Now, he's been out in other places, raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out demons, healing lepers, but he's not been to his hometown. You know, Thomas Wolfe wrote a book, and it was a play. I started that play. It's called You Can't Go Home Again. We'll see. And his disciples followed him. There's 12 disciples. Now, he's training them, and they're watching him. He's a teacher, and they are the student. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished. The Sabbath in Bible times was Saturday. It was Constantine who changed it to Sunday. But in Colossians chapter 2, it tells us that Christ nailed the Sabbath to the cross. Christ is our Sabbath, so every day becomes our rest. But Jesus' custom was, wherever he was, to go into the synagogue, and he would teach the Word of God. He would take the Torah, the Pentateuch, which we call the Bible, and he would read from it. And everybody was amazed, astonished. One of the Gospels says, they said, what a word is this? And another Gospel says, this is the word of power, saying, from where has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Now, they had not in his hometown see him do mighty works, but they had heard that he raised the dead and healed the sick. So they was, who is he? I mean, he grew up with us. Three, is this the carpenter? Now, that's an insult, and I'll tell you why. Mary, as you know, was a virgin, and the Holy Spirit put the baby Jesus embryo in there, and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. She was a virgin. Then she married Joseph, and Joseph was a carpenter. So you see, they did not give Jesus even the honor of saying that he was anybody's son. They thought Mary had done some hanky-panky sexual immorality and had gotten pregnant with Jesus by another man. So they said, is this the carpenter? In other words, Jesus learned the trade of carpentry, but they didn't even honor him to say, is this the carpenter's son? Because they didn't believe that, they didn't know who his father was. Son of Mary? The son of Mary, another insult, very snarky, because in Bible times they never called a person by the name of a mother. But you notice he's not the son of Mary, again saying, we know about Mary. She got pregnant before she married Joseph. Woo-hoo-hoo, illegitimate. And so we don't even know who his father is. See, they didn't understand that this was the son of God. This is his hometown people.
The brother of James and Joseph, of Judas and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? Do you know that Jesus only had brothers and sisters? Because after he was born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, Mary and Joseph had other sons and daughters. They did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah until after he resurrected. One of them was James, who wrote the book of James, and we're going to talk about something he wrote today. And the other wrote the book of Jude. He was Judah. But they did not believe Jesus growing up with him. Why is that? Because they see you get your feet dirty. It's very difficult for people to look at you going through the stages of learning how to cut your teeth and wash your feet and fall down and do this and do that, and then think that God's hand is on you. You know, people like to have some kind of a God to worship that never has to go to the bathroom, never brushes their teeth, and never gets dirty. Like the Hollywood stars, that's why people worship them. I have to laugh. They think that too, and then when they get married, they're in for rude awakening, aren't they? Okay, so no, they didn't even believe in Jesus.
They were offended at him.
They were offended. Who does he think he is? I mean, the thing that he's a Messiah, that God's hand on him, and he grew up just like us. Why is he better than us? Why would God put his spirit on him and not on the rest of us?
Verse 4. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house.
Jesus understood this. Now, Jesus, of course, is Emmanuel, God with us, but he came in the flesh, and so therefore, the fleshly part of everyone, they looked at him as the flesh, and it's very difficult when you think of a Messiah. They think that you're going to be, you know, coming in the sky, and of course he is going to come in the sky, but they could not wrap their brain around the fact that he was in a flesh body. But you know, if they had read the scriptures, they would have understood. He said, I'm going to have a body. I'm going to take a body.
Verse 5, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk and healed them.
Now, we know that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, Isaiah 7:14, and with him all things are possible. We know he is omnipotent. He has unlimited power. So what does this mean, he could do no mighty works there? It means that he has a law, and it's the law that when we're in the flesh, that the just shall live by faith. There was no faith there for him to operate. Now, he could have overridden his own law of faith and heal those people, but it would be like right now. You know what Jesus could do? He could make everybody on this planet, including the swamp in Washington, he could make everybody say, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, but he doesn't want that. That would be robots, you see. That would be robotic. He doesn't want that. So since there was no faith, he had nothing to operate on, and he didn't want to override his own law. Now, I want you to understand, let's talk about families. If you have any kind of a semblance of a family, people listening to me, God bless you, Christian, love your family. I do understand that in many families that the mother and daddy get married, and it doesn't mean that they know how to have children or know how to love anybody or bring up a child. Many parents are devoid of love, of kindness. They don't have it in them. There's not enough love to go around. So the poor little children try to fight for one drop of love from the parents. And sometimes parents aren't kind, and sometimes they're cruel, and sometimes they criticize, and sometimes they never hug you. And so it's so much easier for those of you who have families if you just have two children, and one is the boy and one is the girl. Because when you have the boy, you say, oh, this is unique, a boy. And then a girl comes, oh, this is unique, a girl. But woe be to the one if it's the same gender the second time around. By that time, the honeymoon's over, and the parents say, oh, gosh, not another diaper to change, not another mouth to feed. Huh, I'd like to get out of this. And so, see, when there's not a love to go around, then the siblings themselves fight against each other. Listen to me. If you're in any kind of a family, this world is cruel, and it'll hurt you. You need your family. I don't care what kind of parents you've got. You who are left boys and girls, brothers and sisters, love each other. Get together every day and read your Bible and pray. Brag on each other. Support each other. Don't be jealous. If God has put his hand on one of you and called you to be the man of God or the woman of God, instead of being jealous and saying who you think you are, get behind them and help them in the ministry.
Amen.
Oh, family is so precious. But do not be disappointed if your own family does not support you. What you have to do, I learned this, you have to leave that. See, Jesus will leave Galilee and go out and do exploits elsewhere. Leave the territory. You don't not love them, but you have to go where that family hurt is not there.
Six, and he marveled because of their unbelief.
Jesus often said, I marvel. You know, we should be marveling at Jesus instead of him marveling at our lack of faith. Does Jesus look at you that you don't live by faith and say, I marvel that you don't live by faith, and yet you say you love me, and it's by grace we're saved through faith. Are you saved?
And he went round about the villages teaching. Seven, and he called on him the 12.
Now he's going to ordain these 12 disciples. He's going to start getting them to do what he can do. See, you're in training now. When you're a disciple, you're a student. When you get it right and his anointing's on you, then he sends you and you're an apostle.
And began to send them forth two by two.
Now, he always would pick out two people to go together. The Bible says two is better than one. When one falls, the other props him up. God is into twin spirits, kindred spirits, and he often tries to pair off one type of spirit with a certain anointing with another of the same anointing and understanding and depth so that they can encourage one another.
And gave them power over unclean spirits.
Luke 10, 18 and 19 says it even better. Jesus says, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions, that's devils and demons. So Jesus says, I give you power to cast out devils. And he's also going to ordain and anoint them to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and most of all, to preach and declare the word of God.
And commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only.
Okay, now go lightly. In other words, those of you who are going to plant the seed of the word of God to one more person today and another person tomorrow, or those of you who are on the mission field or have a podium from which to teach the word, the first thing you do is travel light. You need one thing. You need a big stick. Which president said, walk softly but carry a big stick? Why did you need a big stick? They weren't crippled. It's not a walking cane. Because they had to walk through woods and forests with underbrush, marshes. They had gravel, dirt roads. They had to walk through grass. They needed a stick to beat off the wild beast. And they needed a stick to beat off robbers and people who would hurt them. When you go forth, Christian, to tell the word of God, carry your big stick. Your big stick is the name of Jesus, the word of Jesus, the Bible, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the blood of Jesus. That makes one big stick, all four walls. Carry that with you.
No script?
No script. You know what a script is? Don't take a begging bag. You would see people standing on different corners with a begging bag asking for money. Jesus says when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you heal the sick, you raise the dead, you cast out devils, do not beg for money. I'm not sending out beggars, I'm sending out ambassadors for Jesus. In other words, no begging. What you can do, I would suggest to all of you, I have never taken up an offering in all of my life. I never will. I have never asked anybody for $1 to do this work. Whatever comes to me, I tithe, and then I give a generous offering, which is usually more than the tithe, and I give alms to the poor. And then when God multiplies some of that back, I take that, and I do the same thing. I tithe, I give offerings, I give alms to the poor. And when God tells me to do something, told me to be on the radio, I enter. acted out everything I had and did. I didn't know where I was going from there, but you learn to trust God, but you never beg for money. May I suggest to all of the body of Christ that stop doing that, stop the telethons, stop the begging on the airwaves and the television set. Sometimes you got 15 minutes of maybe the word, and then you've got 20 minutes of begging. And in the assemblies, put a box at the back of the church, the room there, by the door, secure the box down in case you have thieves. Make a tiny little slot so they can put checks, cash, or money order in it. Put a sign up, tithe, offerings, and vows. Thank you. And that's it. See, that way you don't ever taint the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, a lot of people feel that most people just beg for money too much. And we do. Trust God.
Amen.
You know what he says in Luke 6:38, give. And it'll be given unto you.
Yes.
Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, should God cause men to give it to your bosom. You know, he just takes care of what we need to do his work. You don't get the luxuries, and he's about to say that. No money, and no money. Don't feel that if you're going to be in the ministry now, you're going to heal the sick, that you've got to have a certain amount in your bank account. I've had many people tell me, I want to get in the ministry, but I want to wait until I got enough money saved. Good Lord, have mercy. When I started, I did well to have $29, and that was it. I started with $45, by the way. At that time, that was good enough to start the license and so forth. But no, you don't do that. No money. In other words, you're going to trust God.
Be shod with sandals.
Now, you do wear your sandals. First of all, they were on dirt roads. They got to go through the woods. They were wild beasts, so make sure, and we're going to find out why those sandals. But you know what the spiritual meaning is? Ephesians chapter 6. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, as Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when you go forth to do the ministry of God, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, sharing the word with multitudes, or one or two, what you do is you carry the big stick, the word of God, the Bible, the name of Jesus, the word of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, and make sure you've prepared. Study.
Put on two coats.
Don't have two coats. Do not be concerned about what you are to wear. Uh-oh, body of Christ. You know, we see the body of Christ, and I think people should be clean and look as nice as they can and be clean. But why are you trying to be like Hollywood, getting your body tucked up and everything like that? What's wrong with being old? It's a badge of honor that you live this long. It means you serve God. It's why you're still going strong. Why do you have to hide that? Why do you have to have designer clothes? Don't you know the world's looking at you? Oh, you thought you were a star because you're on television now, didn't you? Uh-oh, we're not Hollywood. So forget the clothes. Just be clean, be neat. You see, you don't want to draw attention to yourself, how beautiful you are, how young you are, how well clothed you are. You want to draw attention to the Word of God, the name of Jesus, the blood of God, and the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And he said unto them, into whatsoever place ye enter into a house, there abide until you depart from that place.
Now, the reason was that it was customary that when in any village or town, when they saw a traveler come in, they would all open their houses, say, welcome, come in. And so into whatever house they would go, they would fix a big meal. They would, kill the fatted calf, which took a long time. Then they would have music and wine, and it went on and on and on. But if they went to another house, they did the same thing, celebrating them, honoring them. It was great hospitality. But Jesus says, go into just one house, get the rigmarole over, and discipline your time. Don't waste your time on the partying. Don't waste your time. How much time, Christian, do you waste on your cell phone? Just thought I'd ask.
11. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them.
Now, this is cute. God has a sense of humor. Paul tells us the same thing. The roads were dirt roads. The streets were dirt.
and their mode of transportation were cattle and camels. And when cattle and camels are perpetually walking through the dirt streets, they have a way of leaving a lot of dung. So thank goodness you got your sandals on. So if they won't receive you, if they reject Jesus, if they reject the word you were sent to tell, take those sandals and shake that dung off in their faces and move on to the other. We just studied the parable of the sower. Remember the hard ground? Don't stay there. If they reject it, don't throw your pearls before swine. Move on to more receptive soil. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Well, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? God brought down his judgment and burned them all up by their perversion. So what's worse than that? That means that anyone who rejects Jesus, and he is the living word, and the Bible is Jesus in print, if you reject him, you will walk into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels, which comes into existence after the great white throne judgment, after the 1,000 years reign, the millennium, and that means proof you're gone forever. At least those physical people who died in Sodom and Gomorrah could have had a chance to repent, but this is even worse. In other words, what we need in America is, first of all, a day of repentance, and then we need for every city and every town and every village in the United States of America to hear the word of the Lord.
Yeah. 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent.
And just like John the Baptist, you know what John the Baptist's first sermon was? Repent, ye generation of vipers. A viper is a serpent, generation is children. You children of the serpent, repent, John the Baptist said. So whenever you start going out to share God's word, don't share it with people who are lost until you get them saved. And the first thing to get saved is you must repent. Repent means to stop, quit, turn around. So see, a lot of people say, I'm saved, but you're still living in sin. You're supposed to repent of that. So we need in America a day of repentance, and then to hear the word of the Lord, and for every city and state in this country to hear the word of the Lord and accept the Lord Jesus and be saved.
Verse 13, and they cast out many devils and anointed many with oil that were sick and healed them.
Jesus told them to take the anointing oil, which is olive oil, which is the oil of God's people. It's all through the Bible. And to anoint them with oil, James, Jesus' half-brother, wrote this in James 5:13. He says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. An elder is someone who knows God's word, maturing God's word. Let them anoint him with oil, that's olive oil, in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if there be any sins, they be forgiven him. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Is the healing in the oil? No, but it's an act of obedience, and it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. We often think that Christ is Jesus' last name. No, Christ means the anointed one. Messiah, he's called Messiah in the Old Testament, means the anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one. The anointed one. And so when Jesus anoints a man or woman, a boy or girl, to preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, it's like he takes a rubbing oil and pours it into you. Do you know many denominations have never even thought to anoint with oil? What do? You cut out James 5. I was brought up in a denomination like that. And they don't even know what it means. They think it's some kind of snake oil. Now, I have to say that every time that I pray for someone and they're in person, I anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. A little cross on the side of the forehead, or if possible, on the place that is sick. But on the telephone, people call you for prayer. So what can you do then? You can't touch them. You anoint yourself. But see, if you are going to be used to heal and preach and cast out devils and raise the dead, you are going to be anointed. He anoints you. So the anointing reaches out as you pray for the person over the telephone and hits them square there. You're anointed. And what about over the radio? In a few minutes,
just a little bit. I'm going to pray for all of you. I can't touch you, but I'm anointed, and my recording machines are anointed. The anointing destroys the yoke. 14, and King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. King Herod is the high muckety muck of the Roman Empire. Roman Empire's got the Israelites under subjection. He's the top one, and he's heard of Jesus. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. He thought it was John the Baptist who was raised from the dead. Now, you know, Mark forgot to tell us that John the Baptist is dead. So we're going to find out what happened to John the Baptist. Herod says this is John the Baptist raised from the dead. Therefore, mighty works to show forth themselves from him. 15. Others said that it was Elias, and others said it's a prophet. Now, a lot of people said when they heard of Jesus, Herod thought it's John the Baptist raised from the dead. Others said it's the prophet Elijah. Some of the other gospels say the prophet, Jeremiah perhaps, as one of the prophets. 16. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, it is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. Okay, King Herod had seen that his brother Philip had a beautiful wife, and he took her. But he's the king, and her name is called Herodias. So, okay, this is the story so far. Now, we know that's a sin. How is John the Baptist going to get into that? John, at that time, was alive. For he had married her. Uh-oh. 18. For John had said unto her, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. John had told King Herod, you're not supposed to marry her. That's a sin. Now, that's going to make Herodias, the woman, unhappy. She must not love Philip too much. She likes to be the queen. She's happy now. She's the queen. She's the big one, you know. So she's going to hate John the Baptist, and she's even going to try to get her husband Herod to kill John the Baptist. She hates anybody disagreeing with her, kind of like some of our politicians. They absolutely want to kill someone who disagrees with them, right?
Yeah.
And therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him. She tried to get Herod to kill him. Now this time Herod stood his ground, but she could not. 20. For Herod feared John. He revered, he respected John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and observed him. Now when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Herod loved to hear John the Baptist preach. Herod was not far from the kingdom, so he did not yield to his beautiful new wife's wish to kill him. He wouldn't kill John the Baptist. But you know, the devil is very subtle. He's got all kind of tricks in his bag. Let's see what Herodias does. 21. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod, on his birthday, made a supper to his lords, the captains and chief estates of Galilee. Now it's his birthday, and he invites everybody there, everybody who's anybody. This means they're going to have all kinds of food, and the wine is going to be flowing, and music, and dancing, and lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Party hardy. 2. And when the daughter of said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod. Okay, apparently Herodias had a daughter by Philip. Okay, so she comes in and she dances and she pleases Herod and pleases the men with him. This was not a Mary Poppins dance. This was not Dorothy of the Wizard of Oz. This was down and dirty. And them that sat with him. The king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it to thee. 23. And he swore unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto half of my kingdom. Now that's the whiskey talking. That's the wine talking. You know, there's spirits in those vile demonic forces. How many people have ruined their lives by saying something like that when they are drunk? And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. What a nice mother. What an example to set to her daughter. You go in there and tell King Herod that right now you want the head of John the Baptist brought in on a silver platter. Now, I hate to stop there. That is a cliffhanger. We'll begin right there next time. Normally, at this time, we do mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand God's word. But for time's sake, I'm going to move on and introduce you to a man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. Yeah, great word tonight, great word.
Thank you. That's a great story, isn't it?
It is.
You know, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
The mystery of God's voice demands attention when a sign escorts the revelation. Amos 3:6-8.
That is so great. Thank you so much, Scott Merson. I'm going to pray for everyone who is sick. So get your sick loved ones out there in cyberspace, internet, radio, and get up and be ready for that. But first of all, I want to pray for anyone who's not saved. Please pray this prayer with me and mean it from your heart, and God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I ask forgiveness for all my sins. Wash them away with the blood of Jesus. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lead me by the Holy Spirit. Grow me in your word. And let me be a useful vessel. In the hand of God. To bless God. To increase the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And to bless mankind. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Now, in a little bit, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number. Feel free to call me and leave that message on my voicemail so I can know that you've gotten saved, and I will pray for you. Now I'm going to pray for the sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, you will arise with healing in your wings. Let the laser beams of Jesus Christ's healing virtue flow out the north, the south, and the east and west. Wherever there is discomfort, let there be comfort. Where there is pain, stop it. Jesus, for your pains. Oh, Lord, heal every disease, affliction. Lupus be healed. Diabetes be healed. Bones, muscles, nerves be healed. Backbone, spine. Scoliosis, go to the abyss in the name and the power of Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Multiple sclerosis, be gone. Legs walk. I see, ears hear, memories come back. Body parts missing, grow back in Jesus' name. Blood be healed. Clogged arteries be unclogged. Blood clots dissolve. In the name of Jesus, he sent his word and healed you. He is Yahweh Rapha. He is the Lord who healeth thee. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who received your miracle there, then you might want to call and tell me that too. Don't forget, each Sunday at 5 p.m., the live radio broadcast recording here. Come and be my Amen Corner. And Wednesdays we meet here at 6 p.m. You want to make sure you go and tell people about Trumpet of Truth. We can get us on the internet, WMIEFM.com, on demand. We have many, many books of the Bible to help you. Now remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, Thy Word is truth. Until next time, this is my twin friend, Scott Merson, and I am your host, Sherry Medlock, and we say we love you, God bless you, God keep you, and until next time, and I can't wait to be with you then, remember, go
and blow the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the
you
Trumpet.
You are listening
of
to 91.5
truth.
FM, WMIE.
Now. glorious throne, exalted from the beginning, is the place of our sanctuary. Before the mountains were brought forth, already you had formed the earth. You are God from everlasting, beautiful and holy, full of might and glory, who sits above the circle of the earth, transcendent in your beauty, awesome.
There is Listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
Yeah. Alone. This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station, WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Like a person on an IV, drip, 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 he's doing something.
Dr. Tony Evans says the thorn